This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Chuck Berry there for you. Go, Johnny, go. Remember that? Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. Wish I had as much energy as Chuck Berry did back then. I think maybe I do. Anyway, we got a lot going on. Along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we're gonna tell you a lot of things going on right now in the world. Thank you for joining us. It is Friday, April the 5th. In a few minutes, Vance Ginn, he is the former chief economist of the Office of Management and Budget, is going to be with us. We're going to talk about the sentencing of crypto king Sam Bankman-Fried. He got 25 years in prison for the fraud. Did he deserve the 25 years? And should cryptocurrency, should it be run out of town? We will talk with Vance about that. Stay tuned. And President Biden, he had a busy couple of days. He gave the back of his hand to Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu. He's making it harder to fire federal workers. And he's trying to eliminate menthol cigarettes. All this going on this past week. We are going to talk about all of it. And the Democrats' so-called nonpartisan effort to register voters may be backfiring. It may be playing into the hands of Donald Trump. We're going to tell you why. So stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, you know, baseball season is upon us, is it not? So we're going to bring you the top 10 longest Major League Baseball winning streaks. I want to see if Ed gets anywhere close to what the longest one is. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For the best haircut in Tampa Bay, I am telling you guys, you got to listen. Get over to Andrew's Master Barbershop. Not only do you get a great haircut, because they really do know what they're doing there, it's a great place. You'll have fun. You'll enjoy it. And the price is terrific. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. They are in the Overcast Plaza in Dunedin. And Arborlife Tree Service, whether it's tree enhancement, you need more trees, you need less trees, you need stump grinding, whatever it is, if it has to do with a tree, Arborlife is Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call them for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So there you go. All right, so there is an awful lot going. I guess we're going to have somewhere a solar eclipse coming up. I'm not even sure that we can see it down here in Florida, but I believe that in a large part of the country, they are going to have that opportunity. So we'll find out more about it a little bit later in the show. I'm not sure when, but it's coming.
Monday.
Is it Monday?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do we get a chance to see any part of it?
We'll see a partial.
Yeah. You always have to warn people, don't stare at the sun for too long. With an eclipse. Why? Because your eyes don't realize that the sun's burning rays are hurting it when you have an eclipse. So there you go. All right, a little business to attend to. Latest job growth numbers have come out for the month of March. Apparently, the number of new jobs unexpectedly jumped, underscoring the resilience of the labor market. even though we have higher interest rates and we've got that inflation, I tell you what, that inflation is really a killer. I don't think I've ever noticed inflation to be as tough on people as it has been most recently.
You know, I know they're going to boast about the new jobs being up, but I wonder how many of those new jobs are people getting second jobs.
That's right.
To keep up with inflation.
I think you're right about that. So employers added 303,000 jobs in March. This is according to the Labor Department. And that tops the 200,000 that was forecast by a lot of economists. My goodness, that really tops it, does it not? That's more than 50% higher than what they expected. The unemployment rate went down, apparently. It's at 3.8%. That's not much different than what it has been, but I guess that seems to be good news. And now Biden wants to take credit. Of course he shouldn't. He hasn't done a damn thing to make it. He's made things worse with the government spending. That increases inflation, if you don't realize it. Any economist that has a brain will tell you that when you're spending trillions of dollars that you don't have, you're going to raise the inflation rate. But, excuse me, the Federal Reserve said it is closely watching as to whether or not they're going to raise their interest rates. They are not. They're not going to lower them either, probably, for a while. Although, if they do lower them within the next several months, there will be people that say they're lowering them because of the election and because of their ties to the Democratic Party. Anyway, that's the latest on that. I want to talk briefly before we take our break about this Netanyahu-Biden thing. Biden got on the phone with the Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, and he told him that they've got to change their policy in Gaza. Apparently, he's threatening not to deliver either money or weapons or whatever else. What was the deal when this war first broke out? It was because those terrorists killed all of those innocent Israelis. And Biden came out saying, oh, yeah, we got your back. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. Well, now it's not quite the same thing, apparently. During a phone call with Netanyahu yesterday, Biden stressed that Israel's strikes on what they call humanitarian workers and the overall humanitarian situation is unacceptable. Well, there was an accidental strike, and this happens in war, where some innocent people were killed by some Israeli rockets. And Israel immediately came out and they said they were terribly sorry. They also actually may have accidentally killed a few innocent hostages a few days back. So here's Kirby. This is the spokesman from the Pentagon, I guess. He warned that the changes in Israeli policy needed to occur within hours and days, and that the administration was expecting an announcement from Israel. According to Kirby, the president made very clear his concern, and the prime minister acknowledged these concerns. Well, of course, Netanyahu and Israel depends upon weaponry and help financially from the United States. And Hamas terrorists are doing whatever they want to do, and all of a sudden, we're going to run Israel's war? Is that what we're going to do now? Even Schumer, a Jewish man who is the Senate Majority Leader, has been screaming about getting rid of Netanyahu. We have no business delving into their politics. They're at war. You know? I think this is really stupid on Biden's part. Now, he's afraid of his left flank because there's a lot of far lefties that apparently don't like Israel very much. If you haven't noticed it, take a look at what's been going on, not only within his own administration, but in campuses across the country. There's a lot of people that just don't like Jews. I mean, that's how do you not defend the Jews for fighting back after what happened to them?
Well, what happened was an accident, attack. You know, and that happens in war.
Yes, it was terrible what happened to the hostages. It was
October 7th or 6th, whatever it was. hundreds of Jews were slain and everything. And I don't recall Hamas come out and saying
they were sorry about it. No, they were busy collecting hostages at the time.
Listen, if Hamas were coming out right now and saying, listen, you've devastated us, we've got nothing left, we give up, you know, we're sorry for what we did, if that can be done, but then maybe you consider backing off a bit. Until then, Biden, mind your own business. You've got enough problems at home.
Yeah, I would say.
The last thing you need is Israel turning their backs on us.
There you go. All right, let's take our break. When we come back, Vance, again, will join us. He is going to talk to us about the crypto king, Sam Bankman-Fried, being thrown into the hoosegow for 25 years.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday and delighted to have Vance Ginn join us. He is a former chief economist for the Office of Management and Budget. He is now a consultant. He also has his own podcast, Let People Prosper is the name of it. Vance, welcome to Freedom Works.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Yes, our pleasure to have you. So we're going to talk with you about the sentencing of this cryptocurrency king, Sam Bankman-Fried. At one point, he was on top of the world. Now he's apparently starting a sentence of some 25 years in prison. Let me just throw it right out there. Does he deserve the sentence that he got?
Well, I don't know about the timing, like how many years he should have got, but I think whenever you commit fraud and conspiracy, then you probably should serve time. That's illegal. So I don't know that 25 years is the right number. But I think, you know, one thing that I've been looking at this quite a bit is to think about, you know, a lot of people want to throw cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and other things out and say, you know what, this is a lot of fraud, this is a lot of just underground economy sort of things, illegal activity. And this is the sort of situation that says, you know what, when there is illegal activity, it's going to be caught. And it's going to go under the same sort of laws as everything else. That's not a problem with crypto or Bitcoin. It's a problem with the people that are using it. And so I think this hopefully will shed some light on the differences between crypto and Bitcoin, which I think is important for a competitive currency to the dollar, which is losing value time and, you know, every month. But shows that there will be some sort of checks and balances if people are having, you know, committing fraud of this nature.
Well, let's start at the beginning of this. First of all, to the untrained eye and ear, what is cryptocurrency? What is Bitcoin?
So, cryptocurrency or Bitcoin is a digital currency. in particular with Bitcoin, which is the most, you know, most people have heard of that, is based on a blockchain, and it was created many years ago. And basically with Bitcoin, at least, there's a certain number, there's a maximum number of Bitcoin that's going to be created, and it won't go above that. I think it's 21 million. And so what that allows there to be to happen is not the increase in supply. The devaluation that we've seen of the fiat currency known as the dollar is now there's a digital currency that you can exchange between different parties, and you can allow for savings to go up. You know, it's volatile, and so that creates some sort of frustration or fear for some people. But I think for others, it gives them a way to connect and a way to exchange without the government intervening in all of their private activities.
So it takes the place of currency? If I need something done, if I need a service, and I've got all this Bitcoin or whatever it is,
yep.
Can I go to the guy that does the service and say, look, I got a bunch of Bitcoin, I'll give some of it to you and do this? Is that how it works?
Yeah, if they're willing to accept it as a medium of exchange, then yes, you can do that. Not everyone is accepting it,
but
go to somewhere else.
Yeah,
but you could do it.
You could do it. I mean, the point is to get somebody to do something without handing them cash.
Right.
All right. So it's bartering.
Yep.
All right.
Well, yeah, and
no?
You're paying with that Bitcoin. It's kind of like a. It's kind of like when you're using your debit card.
Yeah.
You're not exchanging that currency, the dollar, but you're using some other instrument.
Okay.
And that's a similar thing with Bitcoin.
Okay, so what did... So I'm just doing this so that we all understand a little bit about why this poor guy is going to serve 25 years. So this guy, Sam Bankman-Fried, somehow had a lot of cryptocurrency. He had a lot of it, or he was selling it, or he was doing some. What did he do? Did he go to people and say, you know, I've got all of this cryptocurrency, send me your money and you can have some of it? And then he took their money and ran? I mean, what did he actually do?
Yeah, so there were the $8 billion is what they got him over. And basically there was fraud involved, saying, hey, I've got this $8 billion worth of investments in Bitcoin that you can trade.
So people,
but that never was actually available. He didn't have that,
yeah, well,
and
that's
where the fraud comes in.
My point is, people sent money, sent him currency, sent him money. Is that right?
Right.
And he promised them in return they would get this cryptocurrency. It turns out they don't. He took the money, and instead of connecting them to the cryptocurrency, he took it, and they didn't get it. Is that what happened?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah, at the end of the day, that's correct. Yeah.
All right. So he's a naughty boy, and they decided 25 years is what he should serve. And I think you mentioned $8 billion. Is that what it was?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So now we got that straight. So now, we'll put him in the prison for what he did, and we won't discuss, because it sounds like he's definitely done, you know, he's stolen money. He's a thief. All right. Now, that makes me worried about you, about getting involved with cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
And why should it not worry me? How do we patrol with the free market? How do we patrol people from stealing other people's money using cryptocurrency?
Well, I think this was a great example. I mean, that's why I've kind of said, you know what, this is a good opportunity for us to learn about cryptocurrency, for one. So I appreciate your questions for us to be able to lay out what that means, this digital currency. Just think about it being online and exchanging it. And the way to do it is with the current legal system. It's not like that we need a whole new legal system for it. Some want that. They want to regulate it. They want the government to get involved. Some have called for the Federal Reserve to have a central bank digital currency, which is a terrible idea. Just like what they've done to the value of the dollar. And so I think that this is an opportunity for us to learn, okay, yes, we can find those who are committing fraud, who are doing conspiracy issues and things like that. We're going to hold them accountable with the current laws on the books. And that hopefully will allow for some ability to say, you know what, this is not a this is a situation that I'll get into within the marketplace, because there are already a lot of people, to your point, there are a lot of people who are concerned and don't want to get into the Bitcoin or crypto market, and I understand that. But it should be available within the free market approach.
Yeah, but a lot of people, and my colleague Ed Davis has mentioned this, cryptocurrency or Bitcoin, it's not something that you can physically hold in your hand. It's just the whole thing is
right.
The whole thing is based on some invisible number somewhere. Yeah.
But
go ahead.
You're right. Yes, you're right. But the question is how does it compare? To me, the question is, how does it compare with the status quo? Because today we have a fiat dollar system that's all backed by government debt. We don't hold that government debt. It's just based on the credibility of the Treasury. And given that they have $34 trillion in national debt, which is about 125% of our GDP, we're quickly running out of that to make us insolvent.
No,
and
I agree. No, I absolutely agree with you. Go ahead. That's all right. You're making a good point.
Yeah. And so, you know, some say, well, let's go to a gold standard. I certainly like that better than I like the current fiat system, because then you can hold the gold. You have a physical asset that has productive activity behind it from the mining and everything else to get the gold.
Sure.
And Bitcoin is there's some connection, I would say, with gold, because there's the mining, there's the productive activity that happens behind it in what's called the blockchain that comes up with, you know, the electricity, the energy that goes into that. So there is some productive activity. It's just that you can't actually hold it like you can gold. So if you're ranking them, I would rank gold highest. but Bitcoin should be a part of this competitive currency, I think, with the dollar.
Got it. We're talking with Vance Ginn. He is now a consultant. He is a former chief economist for the Office of Management and Budget. He is the founder and the president of Ginn Economic Consulting. His podcast is Let People Prosper. And we're talking about this very elusive thing called cryptocurrency that is basically something, I guess if we didn't have the internet, Vance, we wouldn't have cryptocurrency, is that correct?
That's correct.
Uh-huh. So it's all done that way. So you got to have a little computer in your hand I got all this cryptocurrency, I guess. Now I want to use it somehow. So now I have to find somebody else that's willing to take it.
Correct.
For whatever product that he has that I need.
Well, yeah, or they could, yes, exactly. And so in that sense, it's not too different than the money you have in your bank account today. Now, you can go out and pull cash out of your bank account, so that is different than the Bitcoin. But if you just exchange things online, like we do a lot these days, it's very similar in that sense. And the question is someone willing and able to accept that cryptocurrency, that Bitcoin, or not?
Mm-hmm.
Just like in any other market. You know, whenever I would teach economics, I taught for several years at a university, and Sam Houston State University. I live in Texas. And, you know, I would teach about money. One of the key parts is a medium of exchange, whatever type of money that is. And that's where the dollar has been this medium of exchange for so long. Used to be gold, used to be silver. You know, back during the during World War II and in Germany, Hitler in the concentration camps, they would use cognac for large transactions and cigarettes for small transactions. So a lot of things have been used for money over time, and that's where I think, you know, Bitcoin could be part of the future. I think it will be part of the future because we need something to compete with the value of the dollar, and I don't see the European, you know, the euro or the British pound or the Chinese yuan. I don't see any of these other currencies competing with the dollar like maybe something like Bitcoin could be now and in the future.
Okay, so I'm going to have you put on your crystal ball, look into the future gear. Would something like cryptocurrency replace real currency? I mean, could it down the road, could we no longer be dealing with real currency anymore, and it would be strictly an online, elusive kind of thing, or what?
Well, I think that's still up for debate. My opinion on it is that it will be part of a number of currencies that are out there. I really like a free banking system. I would love to see the day where banks private banks can issue their own currency, and there is no Federal Reserve. There is no central bank. In that situation, you'd have a lot more competition of the currencies that we're using, and you could actually know where those dollars are. But if we're not going to go down that route, which is kind of an uphill battle, I think you need something to compete with what the value of the dollar is doing, and that's where Bitcoin can come in. So I don't know that we'll go fully all online. I don't know if that's the best idea, because there is something important to having a physical money, whether it be gold or something you can hold in the dollar. I mean, I think there's still something very important about that. But Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies in general, should be a part of, you know, a range of currency that we use.
You do. Well, I guess we just keep hoping that the right now the U.S. dollar is the currency of whatever you want to call it. You know, the major currency that people depend upon.
The reserve currency of the world is what they call it.
The reserve currency, right? Whatever their country's currency is. The dollar is second, and so that, and it's still there, despite the fact that I don't know what is keeping it up. And one of these days, someone's going to say, "I'm not lending you any more money, United States, because the value of the dollar, there's nothing behind it anymore."
Yep. And I think that's one reason why we're seeing interest rates continue to go up. A lot of the foreign countries and foreign companies and individuals, they've been selling off the dollar. Japan is the number one country that holds our debt.
Is it?
That means they're also holding our dollar. China's number two, and then you have some other countries below that. But about 25% of our debt is held outside of the United States, which means that they're holding dollars. But if they're selling that off, that reduces the demand for the dollar, and it further reduces the value. So we're going to have some major problems as they lose as the Treasury, our federal government, loses credibility. Not only in America, but across the globe, we're going to see economic ramifications from that with higher interest rates, higher inflation, and less economic growth. So we've got to get our debt and deficits in order, which means we've got to spend less. It's not a tax revenue problem, it's a spending problem. And until that happens, which they don't seem to be willing to do that, we're going to continue to have economic crises.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Vance Ginn, thank you so very much for coming on. Really appreciate your thoughts on this. Maybe down the road we'll talk again.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Our pleasure. All right, Vance Ginn, going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to resume talking about Joe Biden. He's been pretty busy. He's making it harder to fire federal workers, and he's also trying to eliminate menthol cigarettes. We're going to talk about it. Trouble on the
way. This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. It's Friday. Thank God, right? Joe Biden doing? You know, sometimes I think he is... I mean, we worry about Xi and China, guy that runs China. We worry about Putin. I think Biden's doing more harm to our country than those two are, if you want to know the truth. President Biden's administration is now implementing a new rule to make it more difficult to fire federal workers. They're doing it because of the possibility that Trump will become president and will want to fire a whole bunch of federal workers that are taking up space.
Now, remember, this is the man who said, if you don't get the vaccine, I'm going to fire you.
Yeah, he's... Anyway, early yesterday, the White House released a statement regarding what is called the final rule to protect nonpartisan civil servants. Biden said his administration was announcing protections for over 2 million career civil servants from political interference to guarantee that they can carry out their responsibilities in the best interest of the American people. In other words, the cushy jobs that so many of these guys do, and women, and they never have to worry about being fired because they're going to be kept behind this wall. They can be as lousy as they want to be. They can be as corrupt as they want to be. You're not going to be able to grab them and throw them out. That's what I look at this thing.
So you're talking about the head of the Department of the Study of
yes.
Salmon Swimming Upstream.
Correct.
That's making $200,000 a year.
There you go.
All right.
We're not going to be able to touch those kinds of people. How dare Trump even think about firing federal workers, right? Biden deems this new rule to be a step toward combating corruption and partisan interference to ensure civil servants are able to focus on the most important task. I don't want to talk about
you know,
that
if he's
anymore.
Doing all this,
it just makes me mad to even talk about it.
If he's doing all this, he's not too confident in his getting reelected.
There you go. One other thing, by the way, on the way out the door, if indeed that's where he's going, the Biden administration preparing to finalize new standards targeting menthol cigarettes. Despite heavy opposition from small businesses, civil rights groups, the law enforcement agencies, and free market consumer groups. Now, they've been trying to ban menthol cigarettes for a couple of years. I quit smoking over a year ago, and I used to smoke menthol cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And I always thought, okay, I can almost understand trying to ban cigarettes in general, but when you're going after, like, just menthol cigarettes, yeah, what the hell right does the federal government have to do that? I mean, what are they thinking?
Let's take whiskey off the shelves.
Yeah, take whiskey, too.
And then
we'll leave everything
rest.
Else. Yes. But the whiskey's got to go. Yeah, the whiskey we don't like. I mean, why are they doing that? Why are they focusing in just on menthol cigarettes? Now, they claim that menthol cigarettes are worse for you than regular cigarettes. Well, no, that's not necessarily true. Some cigarettes with more tar and nicotine that are not menthol. I used to think unfiltered Camel cigarettes are probably the worst thing you could smoke. Years ago, they were they were horribly strong.
Oh, my stepfather smoked those things.
There you go. All right. Now, we've got both Ceraci brothers with us, Angelo and Andrew. And I know that Andrew smokes. If you don't mind me saying that, Andrew. I don't know if his brother smokes. Angelo, do you smoke?
I quit smoking in 1996 after I had the first heart attack.
Wow, okay.
Every time I had a cold or something like that, I would smoke a menthol cigarette.
Yes.
Like Salem or Kool's, you know?
Yeah, I remember both of them. I smoked both of them. Kool's were very strong menthols.
Yeah.
And Andrew, I know that you, I don't know that you're a menthol smoker, but I guess you still smoke, right?
I still smoke, Paul. I smoke American Spirit, all natural cigarettes that have no chemicals whatsoever.
Okay. And go ahead.
I'll tell you what Joe Biden's doing. He's basically getting rid of menthol cigarettes. He's trying to get rid of the black vote again because 90% of blacks that smoke menthol cigarettes, cool menthol.
Is that right?
Whether you know that, that's a true fact. So he's getting rid of the black vote even more, buddy.
Hey, Joe Biden.
He's doing a good job, I can tell you that.
Hey, Biden, I hear that Hennessy's not good for you either.
Why doesn't he stop cocaine use in the White House before he goes after menthol cigarettes outside of the White House? I mean, come on, man. Where is his priorities? I don't even want to talk about that anymore. It makes me mad that they want to interfere in the private market. Like, I mean, everything that Biden does is a joke. Everything, this guy, you know, if it's not dealing with Netanyahu, we talked earlier about him now telling Netanyahu, back off the Hamas thing. This guy is, he's more dangerous to us than some of these enemies we were worried about in Russia and China.
Go ahead, Andy.
Well, I got to ask you a very important question.
Sure.
Okay, because this is something that's going on local in Pinellas County right now.
Yeah.
Now, a person that commits a crime, you're a constitutionalist, right?
Well, I believe in the Constitution's good work, yes.
Do you believe that any criminal has the right to an attorney?
In our form of government, yes. A criminal does have the right to an attorney.
Okay. Let me tell you what's going on in Pinellas County right now. Remember how I told you I am backing Jennifer Doubled for Circuit 14's judge, right?
Okay.
Now, she has been a public defender for 17 years. Not a hired attorney, not a private attorney, a public defender.
What is her name again?
Jennifer Doubled.
How do you spell her last name?
D-U-B-B-L-E-D.
Okay.
Doubled.
All right.
Okay. Now, she is a public defender for 17 years, okay, in Pinellas County. Now, her opponent, Nick Ferrentino, who was a Democrat 2 years ago and turned to a Republican, all right, because he couldn't win as the judge as a Democrat, so he switched to Republican. Now, you know who Chris Latvala is, right? And Mark Latvala.
Well, I know the Latvala family is big time in Pinellas County.
Okay. Now, Mike Latvala went down as being a sex offender and everything else. He was a senator, if you recall. Now, he is backing up Nick Ferrentino to run for judge. He's also, I believe, from what I hear, a campaign manager. Now, Jennifer Doubled, being a public defender... Okay, do you remember the gentleman that shot at the cop, I believe, last week in Pinellas County? And the cop turned around and shot him in the face, and he went down?
Okay, where are we going with all of this?
Okay, well, this is Jennifer Doubled got assigned the case for this guy that's shot at the cop.
Okay.
Okay, she has no choice as a public defender.
She's got to represent the guy, yeah.
And represent the guy.
Yeah.
They actually had her set up to get this job from this, get this assignment. And now they're stating that she's an attorney being hired to take care of the cop shooter.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Can you imagine something like that?
Yeah, no, absolutely understood. She was assigned this guy, no matter if she liked him or not. And as
That's
a public defender... She's going to have to defend this guy.
Right.
And now they're going to say, oh, look, she's a cop hater.
This is what they're doing.
Yeah.
I can't believe
it. That's terrible.
You know, these politicians are getting me more disgusted, and the Republican Party wonders why the Democrats beat them all the time.
Mm-hmm. Listen, this
I had to get that point out to you.
Well, I appreciate the point. And you know what? This goes on all over the place. This is always going on. We know that. That's politics. They're gonna force. It's like when the guy votes, say for a bill, and inside of the bill, unbeknownst to everybody, is this little caveat, because the bill is so big and it's got this little caveat in there, and it goes against what a lot of people believe is right. And so, what do his opponents do? They highlight that. And they say, Joe Blow voted to hurt orphan children because of this particular bill that will allow this, that, or the... You know what I mean? And so that's
disgusting.
What happens. It's disgusting. But it happens
it's
all
disgusting.
The time.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I had to get that point out to you.
Sure.
This happened last night. It was all over social media. And I've known this person for... 8 years. She's a constitutionalist.
I believe
you. Like I said, 17 years as a public. She had no choice, but they made sure that she got that assignment.
Yeah, that she can. I tell you what, I know that she can't talk about the assignment, and so therefore, but I would tell you that if she could ever come on the show, we could talk to her in general about things. You have to be careful when they're involved in a particular case, as you know.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
But I hear you, and I think it's terrible. I absolutely agree with you. This is just the price you pay for being involved in this whole dirty world of politics.
You know, it's like they say, the good guy ends up last, buddy.
Yeah. No, I absolutely... hey, guys, I want you to... Here's something else I want you to talk to me about real quickly. Joe Biden apparently leads Donald Trump in a new poll in Pennsylvania. He leads him by 2 points. It's called the Franklin and Marshall poll. It's been around for quite a while. Pennsylvania, of course, is one of the battleground states. I think in the other states, Trump is enjoying a lead. But these numbers are going back and forth a little bit. I don't know why I'm bringing it up, other than Trump overall seems to be ahead by 2 to 4 points in these key battleground states. But here's Pennsylvania, which is an important state. It says here, illustrating the close race, a separate survey from the Wall Street Journal shows Trump is ahead of Biden in 6 of the 7 battleground states. Pennsylvania is included in the the Wall Street Journal's poll, and also Michigan, Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, and North Carolina. He is tied with in this poll. He is tied with Biden in Wisconsin. So there you go. Now these numbers are going to fluctuate, but any thoughts on that, Angelo?
Yeah, I still can't believe that the people would still vote for Joe Biden with all that's been going on with the economy and everything else in the United States, inflation, high gas prices, everything else, wars in the Middle East, war in Europe. I just can't believe that. Well, the American people will still back up a person like Joe Biden.
You got to remember, and we've talked about this, Andrew, you know this too, half the country doesn't like Trump, and it wouldn't make any difference what Joe Biden did. They hate Trump. They hate Trump. They're not going to listen. They don't care that the gas costs what it does. They don't care that eggs cost what it does. They don't care how many illegals are coming through the border. They don't care. Because they don't like Trump, they close their mind off.
But you know, the thing with elections comes consequences. And the consequence has been that, look, they got measles coming back again.
Yeah.
You got mumps coming back in. You got all these
diseases.
Illegal people coming in who have not been vaccinated. And, you know, we could end up with another pandemic.
That's true.
And this is what
we're going to. We're going to around September, October.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely 100% agree with you guys. That's why I say that Joe Biden is more dangerous to our country than Putin or Xi.
That's right.
Well, no question about it.
And yet the American people are, half the American public are closed.
That's right. Let everybody in. I don't care how much it costs me for gasoline. I ain't going to vote against Joe Biden.
And the thing with the civil service employees, I was civil service, right?
Mm.
He's trying to help the union. The union is always Democrat. They always back the Democrats. You know, we used to say all the time that when a Democratic president is in office, the union has a key to the back door.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, you know, when I'm out, you know, the causeways and stuff like that, I see the Trump flags, Trump 2024. Has anybody seen a Biden Harris 2024?
I did see one.
You did?
I did see one. Every day I drive home the same path from my barber shop, and there's just one idiot. He's got a Jack Smith for 2024 and Joe Biden for 2024.
Really?
On his house, yeah. I sit there and laugh every time I go by. He's outside, I yell something at him, you know.
There's a guy, speaking about banners and things from hanging out from your house, there's a guy, when I do my daily walk in the morning, says, "Don't blame me, I voted for Trump."
I see those signs all the time.
I thought, you know, there you go. Guys, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very, very much.
Very well.
All right, Paul, have a good weekend,
buddy. And the same
to
you, buddy.
Have a great weekend, guys.
All right, thanks, Angelo. All right, guys. The Ceresi brothers, gotta love them. All right, gonna take our break. When we come back, among other things, the top 10 longest winning streaks in Major League Baseball.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back. Final segment of Freedom Works. This just crossed the wire, Ed. I don't think you know this. Magnitude 4.8 earthquake has struck New Jersey. Shaking felt across the northeast. 4.8. I'm not sure how strong that is, but it's going to shake. Typically, you don't think of New Jersey area, yeah. New York area for an earthquake.
I'm sure Biden will come out and blame us on global warming. Trump.
All right. Hey, we're not going to get into one of the stories. We don't have time. I want to talk to Ed about sports. We were going to talk a little bit about this nonpartisan effort by Democrats to register voters. We'll leave that for the next show. I want to talk to Ed, though, about women's college basketball, and in particular, the phenomenon known as Caitlin Clark. She is perhaps the greatest female basketball player in the history of college basketball. She has scored more points than anybody else in the history of college basketball. She's even scored more than any man has scored in college basketball. And her team is in the Final Four. They're going to start their Final Four games tonight. And correct me if I'm wrong, Ed, but Iowa is playing Connecticut in this game.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch. You tell me.
Yeah, 9 o'clock. Normally my eyes would gloss over right about now. And I'm thinking of getting a root canal.
There you go. But not in this case, right?
But no. And especially what LSU did to Iowa in the last game where Iowa won, that the girl there, I don't even care about her name, but there was a lot of bad sportsmanship going on.
Trash talking.
Yeah, and this is also the LSU team that did not come out for the national anthem, which they said is no big deal because a lot of times they don't come out. It's just something that...
Didn't even come out. They won it all last year, LSU. They didn't come out for the national anthem in the championship game. Yeah, they didn't come out. So this is a habit of LSU. Their team does not come out during the national anthem.
When all the cameras are on you, you have to. I mean, for crying out loud.
You would think.
Yeah. And it was just a lot of trash. And I know trash talking goes on, but... You know, you also win with a little dignity, too.
Let me ask you.
Lose with dignity.
There is another team in women's college basketball, South Carolina, which is undefeated this year.
Yeah.
So if Iowa were to beat Connecticut, and it'll be a good game. Connecticut's always got a good women's team.
Yeah.
And you had South Carolina playing Iowa. They are going to have some great ratings.
Yeah, the numbers were off the charts for this last one. Yeah. I can't, if they make it, if they go all the way, I just, I may beat the men's.
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to be as interested in the women's as I am in the men's, and I love men's college basketball.
She's something else. I mean, she's Caitlin Clark is unbelievable.
And not only that, she seems like a genuinely down-to-earth woman.
Yeah.
Nice. Doesn't seem like it's... She doesn't have any... she must realize that she's so good that she just can be herself. Yeah. That's what I would say.
And she doesn't, she doesn't flaunt it either.
No, she doesn't. Absolutely. She's like Lola.
Yeah.
Our owner. Our radio station. She never flaunts anything. We just love her for what she is.
She's
right?
opening up her Bitcoin right now.
Is she? Oh, okay. All right, it's time for our top 10, Ed. You got to get over on the drums. Maybe Lola can play the drums instead of you. But these are the top 10, speaking of sports, these are the top 10 Major League Baseball longest winning streaks ever. All right?
Huh.
Number of games in a row that they won, right?
Yeah.
All right. So here we go without further ado. Number 10. The New York Yankees. They won, let's see here. How many games did they win? That doesn't have it here. Oh, boy. Now, that's screwy. They won 45 games in a row in 1953. Mm. 45 games in a row. Wow. All right. Let's see. Another team that won 45 games in a row was the New York Giants in 1904. So there was a tie for that. All right, so we'll go down to number 8. Number 8 was, okay, you know what? I made a mistake. It was only 19 straight games that they won originally. All right. The New York Yankees in 1947 won 19 straight games, apparently, from... you know what? These numbers got all screwed up. I have to apologize.
Well, let's make it up.
Well, I make it up.
Put the Rays at the top.
The White Sox are also in number 8. They won 19 straight games in 1906. All right, so that brings us to number 5. Number 5. The Oakland Athletics won 20 games in 2002.
I remember that.
Do you really?
I do.
Well, they did. And
that's where that whole Moneyball was.
Yeah, there you go.
The movie.
That sounds good. All right. Another one, number 5, was a team in 1884. And believe it or not, their team was called the Provide NCE Grays. Nobody knows who they are anymore, but they won 20 games. And also in 1884, the St. Louis Maroons won 20. All right. Number 3. This is the worst top 10 I've ever done. Number 3, most games, Chicago Cubs in 1935, believe it or not. They won 21 games. Mm. Wow. 1935. They finally lost to the Philadelphia Phillies. All right. Number 2, the Cleveland Indians in 2017 won 22 games.
Mm.
All right. All right, Ed. Who do you think won the most games?
I'll tell you
the number. 26.
I don't know. I thought Oakland was up there somewhere.
Okay.
I thought it was higher.
It's a New York team. It's the Giants, 1916. They won 26 games. And they finally got beaten by the Brooklyn Robins back in good old 1916. So there you go. All right. Thank you for listening. We will be back on Monday. In the meantime, have a great weekend. Watch college women's basketball. And remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. An unusual, unsettling feeling for New Yorkers.
We were in the building and it shook everything. No one knew what it was.
The U.S. Geological Survey confirms a preliminary magnitude 4.7 earthquake rattled through the metropolitan area. Odyssey's Tom Kaminsky.
This classic, the way an earthquake is described, that sort of a rumble, but it just... kept on building for a little bit, for maybe the first 5 seconds, sort of stayed stagnant that way. And then, as I said, it lasted maybe about 10 seconds and then just sort of died off.
It shook the earth as far south as Baltimore, north into the New York City suburbs and Connecticut. The USGS says it was centered 45 miles west of the city in Lebanon, New Jersey. So far, no reports of injuries or damage. Local airports are warning of delays. New signs of a strong jobs market. Deputy Labor Secretary Julie Sue.
There's just no question that, you know, this is the strongest economy in the world. Numbers don't.